I'm Hannah Levine, live from Historic Hotel Congress. It's time to welcome my regular guest. Chris Carey volunteers his time to select and research our classic picks each week, and then is kind enough to come in on Mondays and talk with me about what he's learned about a landmark release this week. It is Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Welcome to the show, good sir.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, this is Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Deja Vu. It came out March 11th, 1970, so 49 years ago. This was the second supergroup release by Crosby, Stills, and Nash, but for this particular release, they asked Neil Young, Stephen Stills' old bandmate, to join in on this one as well. I mean, Deja Vu was incredibly awaited sophomore album. I mean, they sold like nearly 2 million copies before it was actually released. And
wait, what?
Yeah, they sold a bunch of copies of this album before it actually came out. People were buying it. Like, nobody did this back then in 1970.
Yeah, I didn't think that you could, like, buy in advance back then.
No, people were buying in advance.
Crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, it went to sell, like, over 10 million, or about 10 million copies, give or take a little. I can't remember exactly. It was a supergroup, probably one of the first supergroups. It consisted of David Crosby, Stephen Stills, Graham Nash, and Neil Young. David Crosby basically got kicked out of the Byrds in 67, and so he had founded the Byrds, and he decided he was going to found another band, and he talked to Stephen Stills, who was in Buffalo Springfield and didn't have a band after they disbanded, and Graham Nash, who had been in the Hollies, and so they did one record. It was really well, received. It was huge, in fact, and they kind of thought, man, the only way we're going to be able to top this is to bring somebody else in who can kind of help with some of these parts, and somebody that and at first they actually talked to Jimi Hendrix and to and to Steve Winwood, and they both turned them down, and then a record exec from Atlantic suggested that Stephen Stills' old bandmate Neil Young from Buffalo Springfield would be good, and they asked him. And I think, actually, as much as I respect Steve Winwood and love Jimi Hendrix, I actually think I'm glad that they turned it down, because I think that Neil Young is what made this album amazing.
I agree. And Jimmy had some other things going on right around that time. I think
he had some other stuff going on. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, they got together. And what's interesting about this, and I never thought about it until I was looking at this, there's only a handful of people out there that have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Fame twice. And as far as I know, there's only one other band where the members of the band were nominated twice, all the members of the band, and that's the Beatles.
Like individually?
Yeah. So everybody in the Beatles was inducted as a Beatle and as an individual artist, and everybody in Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young was inducted as a member of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and then a member of the other respective bands, the Byrds, the Hollies, and Buffalo Springfield, which I thought, there might be something else out there, but I don't think there's any other band that every member was inducted twice.
Very cool.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. It was recorded they figured it took about 800 hours of recording, and it was done pretty much in two different studios in San Francisco and LA, and all of the members of the band recorded separately all of the tracks, with the exception of Woodstock. So Woodstock was the only song on the album that they all were in the studio together. They took turns on leads and writing pretty much all four of the band members had two songs on each side, and they pretty much all sang leads on the songs that they wrote, with the exception of a couple songs. And the one of the biggest hits on the album, Woodstock, was actually a Joni Mitchell cover.
Right.
Yeah. And so Graham Nash was dating Joni Mitchell at the time. And so, and then Our House on that album is kind of about the domestic bliss that Joni Mitchell and Nash were experiencing at that time.
At that time.
Yeah, at that time. Yeah. So, and they took, Stephen Stills and Neil Young both took turns basically on lead guitars, and David Crosby played rhythm. And what's interesting, too, is both Stephen Stills and Neil Young are on the list, on Rolling Stone's list of top 100 guitarists of all time, too. There's not too many bands with two of the 100 rated guitarists playing together. Interesting thing, too, is that Jerry Garcia played pedal steel on Teach Your Children, which I didn't know that. And John Sebastian from Love and Spoonful played harmonica on the title track. Like I said, it was obviously very successful. It sold about 10 million copies to date. There were four singles on it, and three of those singles, Our House, Teach Your Children, and Woodstock, were they charted in the top 40. I don't know if they all made it to number one. You know, what's kind of neat about this record, too, is that, and I didn't really think of this first, but I read something similar to this, and the more I thought about it, it kind of works. This is kind of like a record that kind of signals the death of 1960s and what the 60s were about, and hailed the beginning of the 1970s. And, you know, it kind of went from this, you know, what was called the counterculture then, I think you could just call the youth culture that now. And during most of the 60s, even with a lot of the crazy stuff that happened towards the end of the 60s, it felt like that people still were kind of had this Age of Aquarius, like youthful optimism kind of thing. And then the 70s came around and it got converted to cynicism.
Right.
And a lot of that, I think, kind of happened around this time when you know, this counterculture group that had grown up young and idealistic hit the 70s and started getting older and a little bit more cynical of the government and everything in general. And what was, you know, I mean, the anger that the 70s brought on was a lot due to what happened just a couple of months after this album was released, was the Kent State Massacre. And that happened in early May. And Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young wrote Ohio at the end of May and released it in June.
And actually, now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure it was in September, because it was around the time I was born. Jimi Hendrix died. Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin died later that same fall, too.
Yeah. It was, yeah. So
quite
it's
a
like,
year.
But yeah, so it's, I mean, 1979 just chronologically was a shift, but there was a lot of other things going on as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
It is an amazing album. This is an album you could probably call near flawless or even flawless. It's a really good record, and it's one of those that holds up incredibly well. You can listen to it a million times, and it always sounds very good.
Excellent. Anything else you want to add before we get into your first choice here?
No, just the song we're playing, Almost Cut My Hair. Actually, this might be my favorite song on the album.
It's funny, I look at that phrase and I'm like, oh, no, that's a Pavement song. No, Almost Cut My Hair.
I mean, it was written and sung by David Crosby, and it's a lot about the kind of the difference, you know, the kind of different viewpoints of the youth and the more established groups in the country at the time. But it's a good song.
Excellent. I've been talking with Chris Carey about Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young's Deja Vu. Came out right around this time, 49 years ago. It is our classic pick of the week. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.